Here we go. Just checking everything here, and it's recording. Okay, good.
Okay, so no weird clicking or power.
I don't know about that. I can't promise any of that.
Okay.
Sounds. I can't promise what God's gonna do. You know me.
Yeah.
He's got it in for me.
Well, that's fair. Only a couple days left with Lent.
That's right.
That's exciting. You can eat bread again, whatever that is.
Yeah, I'll be able to. I heard that I'll be able to do that if I choose. But I don't know. I might be off bread for a while still.
Huh. Interesting.
Been healthy for me.
Okay, that's good. You're losing some pounds.
Yeah.
Good. That's good.
Yep.
I feel like you've been a little more ornery lately, though, without the bread. Physically, it might be good for you. Mentally, I'm not so sure.
No, I think I've just been more full of energy. Is what it is. I'm spirited.
Welcome to MMA and stuff, by the way, on halfguarded.com. My name is Matt. That is Mike. You know who else has been spirited lately? It's funny you mention that.
Not Dana White.
No, we have not seen much of Dana White, but we've been seeing a lot of Ronda Rousey lately. She's been making the media round. She was on ESPN a bunch over the last couple days, leading into WrestleMania on April 8th. She's teaming up with Kurt Angle versus Triple H and Stephanie McMahon. We've been talking about Ronda here on this program, I want to say every week, but pretty often. She always finds a way to make news, it seems. And she basically went on ESPN, these basic interviews that, you know, celebrities and sports figures do to promote whatever they've got coming out, a book or a movie or whatever. And they're pretty generic, basic interviews. But essentially what happens is every time somebody asks her about the end of her UFC run, her losses there, or how her MMA career ended, it always goes terribly. I've actually got some audio. I'm going to try playing this, and we'll see how this works. And then you can give me your thoughts on this interview. This is just a 30-second snip from an interview with Mike Golick and Ronda.
Let's go back and start with when you knew from the MMA, when you were done there, when you knew in your mind, I'm not going to fight anymore.
I never said that.
Ah, so there is a possibility that you could go back in time?
There's a possibility that I can go back in time? That's your question to me?
Go back in time and fight. Go back in the octagon.
I do not have the ability to go back in time, no.
No. Would you fight again?
I don't know.
Thoughts?
Yeah. First of all, I think it's really, that sounded really good.
We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see if this is even being recorded. I think that she's I don't know. She's an asshole. Like, why is she doing that? First of all, Golick, what a moron. He doesn't know how to ask a question. You're a professional broadcaster, and your questions sound like they're composed by a 4-year-old autistic. You fucking big lump of shit. So, yeah, it was a shit question, but she went in there ready to be, you know, angry. She was on the defensive immediately, and it's like, it's Mike Golick. It's ESPN Radio. You really think you're going to get hit by some tough questions there or anything like that? No. For her to react like that, I don't know what her problem is. And it's like, just, geez, lady, like, why are you doing TV? If you're going to be like this, why are you doing the television? I understand, like this is the kind of answer that if somebody's if an athlete acted like this on some bullshit media day where they're forced to be there, or right after the Super Bowl when Cam Newton didn't want to talk or whatever, I'd be like, whatever, you know what, they're not in a good mood. But, and I know that, you know, she probably doesn't want to do these things, but as part of being a pro wrestler, you're there to hype stuff and to become likable. You don't have to do this. You chose to be a fake fighter. This is the job, you dumbass. Don't go out there and be a bitch.
Yeah, I wonder, it's interesting though, and I don't think she's doing it on purpose. I think she can't cope with losing and can't get over it, and whatever, I don't care either way. It doesn't affect my life, but like, you gotta wonder if it's better that she acts like this because it gets more people talking. You know what I mean? She's like, oh yeah, it was tough. If I could go back again, I would have done this and this differently. Nobody would care. Nobody would even notice. At least she's getting people talking.
No, yeah, there's some truth to that. No press is bad press, whatever the fuck I'm trying to say. Mm. But yeah, she definitely got people talking, and I don't think that it really matters because she's in a different industry now. It's, you know, she's getting paid a flat. I don't know how she gets paid, but whatever. So I think some of that is, you know, we live in this weird world, you know, especially with MMA. Well, for a lot of reasons, but MMA, where we kind of got that pro wrestling mindset of like, oh, you know, is this drawing money? Is this doing business for you? But now even WWE is oddly enough gone past that pro wrestling mindset. It's all about the network, and you know how they draw money. What does it mean to get attention these days? So many people want to get attention, but it doesn't necessarily lead to money.
Right.
So I don't know. I don't know what she's doing. She's just terrible. And fine, she doesn't want to get over the loss. I get that. First of all, it's not the first time you've lost. Also, get over it. Like, this isn't healthy.
I agree.
There's no way, like, nobody would, this is ridiculous. You lost in judo, okay, you got your ass kicked a couple of times. Like, you can't even talk about it? You can't, like, fine, you don't want to be happy-go-lucky about it. It's still bitter and angry, but you don't have to be a cunt. Oh,
yeah.
Man.
I guess Travis Brown really didn't help her get over it, huh? Remember she was saying like a week ago, like the whole thing about her being more than a fighter and there's more to her than just that. I guess that didn't really end up holding up after much scrutiny here.
Yeah, well, she's probably angry because you just know he brings it up every day just to put her down.
She'd be like, what about all those times you got knocked out, loser?
He'd be like, did I lose to a 135-pound woman in a minute? Really? Did I, Rhonda? No, I didn't. You're a loser. Everybody knows you're a loser. I've won fights after I've lost them. You can't come back because you're a loser. Now shut up and don't talk back to me.
This, and then I'm going to play some of this one. This was on First Take. Rhonda's talking to Max Kellerman here.
Heard Stephen A. and me talking about you was I said that you were a woman who, through your fighting, when you became such a big deal that when you lost, it's like the earth stopped spinning on its axis. And that's the part I chose to focus on after your loss in the UFC. Like, why is everyone talking about, oh my God, she lost, is she over it, all these kind of things, when you achieved such heights that one loss, the whole world stopped and noticed it? Why do you think there was a kind of negative backlash to you after the loss? In other words, people, you must be aware, in the MMA world, there was a lot of talk, well, she was overrated, she was this, she was that, and my point of view was, at the time and remains, that you achieved amazing heights. Almost no one wins forever. Everyone suffers setbacks. But there seemed to be like an unusual amount of negative pushback after your loss. Did you not experience that?
I experience a lot of people who quote some people that are really just afraid to state their own opinion.
Do you think it's my opinion? No, that's not my opinion. I can tell you right now, it's not my opinion. I thought you achieved amazing things. I was and am, remain a big fan of your fighting and of you. That's not me saying some people meaning me. That is me saying I read and heard from others and defended you.
Well, thank you for defending me. I appreciate that.
okay?
Yeah, there's just something
so
wrong with her.
Good. It's so good.
I mean,
because like the
she's going out of.
You can't obviously listening to this, you can't see it, but it's worth watching because like the smirk and like I can't even describe like just the smugness on her face like speaks volumes. And like again, that question, it wasn't even from Kellerman. It wasn't even like hostile. He's saying, I don't believe this, but what did you make of the negativity that came up after your loss and how you responded to it? And she doesn't, like, even attempt to answer it. And just,
no,
she's like, making faces at him.
I think that, she's just trying to do, like, I think that you people, so, no, I'm not saying you, but people like to say that somebody else thinks I suck because they're cowards. Like, no. Oh, what's great about this one in particular is in the early days of the website there, 2015, Brother Brian and I were sitting around, and we were, like, trying to figure out, what are articles we could write that wouldn't, they're kind of clickbaity, but, you know, like, real. And he's like, what do we do, like, people are, like, overrated for, like the reasons why Fyodor is overrated, which were kind of true. And then Brian's like, I'm going to do one for, why is Rhonda overrated? So he did, like, it was going to be the top 10 reasons why she's overrated, and he just put down 2. I don't know what it was. Anyways, we just kind of thought, whatever, like, people get talking, right? They're like, oh, you know, you think she's overrated? Because she's a very polarizing figure. And then she loses. And all of a sudden we're like, wow, we fucking timed that article perfectly, didn't we? It was just, we got it out like 2 weeks beforehand. We're like, we really nailed this one. And so yeah, Rhonda, if you're wondering, my name is Mike Coughlin. My brother's name is Brian Coughlin. They're here at halfguarded.com. And collectively, we said you were overrated. What do you say to people like me? Snobby bitch.
So yeah, Rhonda's media rounds didn't go so well. Although I bet they're getting a lot of clicks and being retweeted as we speak, because they are something to behold. Awkward is a good way to describe those interviews. If you get a chance to watch them, the entire interviews aren't like that. I'm picking select bits from all these interviews, but those were the most talked about parts of her media appearances.
Okay, she's not likable. She's not a nice person. She's not a person. She's just this machine that trained and has no ability to cope with things. This is not, and I've said this for a long time, her story does not end well. Like, you can just see it, every fucking cliche that you can imagine is there in full force. She's got the tragic loss of a parent. She's got this batshit crazy mom who makes her run on broken feet so she can become an Olympic athlete. She travels. She does all this shit. She gets involved with, like, shitty dudes who are, like, 10 years older than her when she's 13 and has sex with them and shit like that. And then she's, like, this cage fighter. She gets loses. She's got all these issues. She can't even talk about things. She tries to act. She sucks at acting. She marries this guy who everybody in the world is like, that's a bad choice there, Rhonda. She's like, no, he makes me happy. I want to have his babies, which is kind of crazy person talk. Her story does not end well. If she is not on television for a half an hour one day, sitting across and crying from Dr. Drew, I will be shocked.
Okay, time will tell on that one. But anyway, the next chance to see Rhonda is probably Monday Night Raw and then Mania. Really weren't any big shows this past weekend of note. No Bellator, no UFC, but two things if you got a chance to see them. One was the debut of Gary Tonin in ONE Championship. He won by TKO in the second round. Not sure if you caught any of that. Good mustache on that man. And there was also a fight in LFA that went viral. This guy.
Wait, was it Invicta this weekend?
Oh, there was Invicta. You're right.
Yeah.
You're right.
I mean, I watched like the first half of it.
Okay.
And then I watched Chance on Hulu. I only remember because I went out of my way to like watch it because I'm like, I want to watch something. I'm kind of, I don't know, let's see what's going on. And I saw like this one chick who apparently I like was following on Twitter for a while now. She's an 18-year-old from Texas who loves God, Jesus, and America. She's got this, like, big tattoo of the Statue of Liberty on her left arm. And I was like, this chick's fucking America, right? I'm like, America, fuck yeah. And she liked that. I'm like, oh, I gotta watch her fight.
Yeah.
And then she didn't, she lost. She was tough. She's 18, but she lost. And she got beat up. And she got beat up bad. Like, one of those, like, you don't see women bleed like this in fights type of deal. Just for whatever reason doesn't happen. Like, it's kind of beating that a man takes inside of a cage. It wasn't good.
Yeah. Well, she's got time for more concussions. Gary Tonin, check that out. And then this other fight in LFA, a guy named Drew Chapman. This was a really weird finish to the fight. Like, he was fighting this other dude. I don't have his name.
Fat guy.
Irvin's Ayala. He, like, tried to jump
into... Oh, yeah, Irvin's Ayala. I remember him, yeah.
He tried to jump into this guy Drew Chapman's, like, guard, but, like, went face first into his knee and knocked himself out. And then the other guy, Drew Chapman, jumps up onto the guy's back as he's laying face first on his stomach and does like a flip off the guy's back, like jumps off of him and flips and lands on his ass. And then he ends up losing by a DQ because of that.
Oh, did he get a DQ for that?
He was disqualified, yes.
I mean, when I saw it, the whole thing was weird because I didn't know what happened. Like, I thought he got knocked down or taken down. And then the dude, I didn't know that, like, the guy had knocked himself out on the knee. I thought the guy was just, like, I thought the guy just fell flat weird, and then our hero here just punched him one time in the temple, and, like, it was, like, the perfect shot and knocked him out. I was like, what the fuck? Then he just, yeah, he gets up and he jumps on the guy like a fucking trampoline and does a flip. And he lands on the guy with a flip like some pro wrestling senton or something. Like, Jeff Hardy's doing this shit. I don't know what that was. I mean, I don't know if he was, like... And I don't know, I've never seen a celebration like that. This isn't your normal, like, hey, suck my dick, or whatever, like, ways to humiliate a guy, maybe you step on him, whatever. It's like, I've never heard of somebody being like, I'm going to do a flip on you. Like, what? I think he got, like, really excited. Like, I think he just jumped up, maybe, and, like, maybe initially, like, on the ascent, thought, I'm gonna stop this guy. And then as he's coming down going, oh, that's a really bad idea. And then, like, so he kind of, like, tried to, like, you know, when you jump and you try to hit the gun, you, like, try to, like, minimize the momentum and energy that would carry through, so he busted out a flip. But it didn't really, you know, maybe it didn't work the way he thought it would.
Yeah, whole thing was weird, because I've never seen a guy get knocked out that way. Like, he was trying to jump into the guy's guard and knocked himself out on the guy's knee. Never seen that. And I've never seen somebody flip off an unconscious man's back like that before either. It was a thing of beauty.
Yeah, every once in a while MMA does shit like this where you just go, all right, all that shit those guys were doing in Dragon Gate, totally possible. It could actually happen. All right.
Yeah, I always thought Jack Evans was like a shoot style guy.
He's got a victory over CM Punk.
It's probably true.
He did. He beat the shit out of him at the Denny's in a parking lot.
No, that was Teddy Hart.
Oh, that's right. No, look, sorry, Teddy Hart, Jack Evans, they're both kind of screw-ups that flip a lot.
Deep cuts here. Who beat up CM Punk in a Denny's parking lot?
There's so many choices.
More news on Canelo Alvarez has come out. He was in some hot water for, you know, tainted cow he ate in Mexico with clenbuterol in it. So he's actually been...
By the way, I totally misheard what you said there at first, because you said, more news and Canelo Alvarez has come out. My brain was like, he came out of the closet? What the fuck? Did I miss that? Oh.
That would be a story. Canelo has been temporarily suspended by the Nevada State Athletic Commission following two positive tests for clenbuterol on February 17th and February 20th. The rematch is scheduled for May 5th at the T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas. Canelo is scheduled to meet with the commission for a hearing on April 10th. The committee will decide whether the rematch will take place.
So they're looking for an excuse?
Yeah, it looks like he's suspended for 12 days, and then they're going to make a decision on the 10th.
I mean, pretend that this is not a farce, right? Pretend this is real. Like, they're going to actually suspend him for 2 years or whatever. Like, that this isn't just going to be, well, you know, for the good of the city, we'll let him fight type of deal, and then you go to jail. Shit. How fucking unfair is that, though? Less than a month before this giant professional fight where you're going to punch a man in the head for 36 minutes, you have to decide, they have to figure out, we're not sure if we're going to let you do it or not. Like, you should let the guy know. He's got to kind of, you know, train for this thing, and why wait till the 10th? Just do it now.
Right. I don't know. Maybe Canelo's side asked for more time or something. I don't know.
Probably. I mean, how hard is it to find, you know, some fake meat that you pretend that you bought? Just go find it. It's easy.
Golden Boy Promotions spokesman Stefan Friedman said, "We respect the NSAC's process and will vigorously present Canelo's case throughout. Over his career, Canelo has tested clean more than 90 times and would never intentionally take a banned substance."
Hey, and there's a difference between boxing and MMA right there. That was Golden Boy saying, we're going to go out there and defend the hell out of our guy. You don't hear the UFC ever do anything like that. You know? We may all think they want John Jones, but realistically, if you ask Dana White, he's going to go, fucking idiot. He's going to probably get suspended. I don't know what the hell is going on with him. It's a different dynamic.
Golovkin is not on Canelo's side here. He said, again with Mexican meat, come on. I told you it's not Mexican meat. This is Canelo. This is his team. This is his promotion. Canelo is cheating. They're using these drugs, and everybody is just trying to pretend it's not happening. This guy, he knows. This is not his first day in boxing. He proves he gets benefits from everyone, and he can get away with it. Check him on a lie detector, and then we can find out everything.
How do people think that lie detectors really work? Like, do they really, do people genuinely think that there's a machine that can actually tell if you're lying and we don't use it for everything? What the fuck? Also, any human being that says things in the, like, phrases it such as, this guy, he is lying. Anytime somebody says this guy, they're tough. Like, it feels like only Eastern European guys say, this guy. It just sounds so Eastern Euro. Now, I will say this to Golovkin. He's from fucking some sort of shithole, like in Russia or whatever,
Kazakhstan,
right?
Kazakhstan, I think.
I was going to say, one of the stands. Okay, it doesn't really get impugned. If this works better if he was Russian, then I'd be like, well, we all know you're cheating, too.
It essentially is. I mean,
exactly. So, like, he's cheating. I'm sure he's cheating. Oh, are they using the fake meat excuse? How about you guys are using the one where you cut a hole in the wall and then somebody just switches the samples? Which one's a little more obvious there, pal?
Yeah. So that'll be interesting. I think it's going to get swept under the rug and the fight's going to happen. But that's just me being me. A guy who did not get a suspension after testing positive is Josh Barnett. We talked about...
By the way, how's your weather?
My weather, like, at this very moment?
Yeah, like, I feel like we didn't give people an update. You just disappeared last week.
I apologize. I'm still here. I'm still alive. The power came
because
back.
You could
have
died.
A couple hours later. I didn't die. Power was back a couple hours later. Right now, it's 40 degrees and not windy or anything. Yeah. Tomorrow, it's supposed to get up to 55. Spring is springing.
Sprung.
So yeah, Josh Barnett, he basically, I forget what he, Osterine he popped for, that's also Tom Lawler's drug of choice. He received only a public reprimand following arbitration in his USADA doping case. That means Barnett will receive no suspension and can return to the octagon right away. Barnett, 40, tested positive for the banned substance Osterine in an out-of-competition drug test on December 9th, 2016. Barnett and his legal team were able to show the arbitrator that the Osterine came via a tainted supplement. Given the source was established to be a contaminated
supplement, along with the athlete's care and diligence concerning the nutritional products consumed, the arbitrator determined that a public reprimand was appropriate. So he has no punishment, except he couldn't fight for a year and a half because of this, while this whole battle behind the scenes was going on.
This is weird for a number of reasons. One, Josh Burnett's a liar. Of course he cheated on purpose. He just did. Allegedly. I kind of uncut myself there. Osterine sounds awesome. Sounds like some... I feel like Osterine, it's got to be a woman's thing. You know, it's got that woman-y vibe to it. Like Osterine. Estrogen, ovaries, Osterine. There's kind of... It's a very feminine word with the zeros. Like, a man to be, like, Dickerine or something like that. It's, yeah. But, I don't know what's going on. He pulled this off. A public reprimand. Like, seriously? That's like... What are you doing that for? Why are you even having that as a... Boom, Siri came on my phone. I said, seriously? Oops. Why is that an option? That's not a thing. A public reprimand? What the fuck is... It's like when they censure someone in the House of Representatives. Like, Bill Clinton was... He was censured. You wrote a mean letter. That's it? It's like the United Nations. We're going to write our mean letter to you. It's like, okay. Like, whoop-de-fucking-do. All right. And after that, how is he pulling this off? Like, we've had guys... Like, how is it that Nowitzki can come out and say, I believe John Jones had a tainted dick pill, and still give him a real punishment? Whereas with Josh Barnett, they said, I believe that Josh Barnett got a tainted supplement, therefore, here's a mean letter.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's essentially what happened. He sounds like he went to USADA and whatever, talked to him, and they weren't buying a story, and they wanted to give him whatever, a year or 2 years. He said, no, I'm taking this to arbitration. And the arbiter said, you know what, we believe you, and we don't think you deserve to be punished for this.
I know what an arbiter is.
No, but I'm just saying, like, John Jones did the same thing and got a year for
That's what's confusing
his
me.
His dick pills. I guess they like the story better, or if it was maybe a different company in this arbitration case. I don't know.
I mean, I guarantee you they're gonna, when the lawyers usually for arbitration, usually what happens is you agree on like a neutral. Usually there's an American Association of Arbitrators is who you use.
Yep.
Is that what they use there? AAA.
I'm trying to figure it out.
But yeah, you know, usually, and then what happens is, like, each side picks a guy that they think would be good or whatever, and then they pick somebody, whatever. Point is that they try to manipulate this shit a little bit. So
the
this
company,
arbiter,
yeah, the arbiter
really popular
is McLaren Global Sports Solutions, Inc.
McLaren? Huh. Sounds... Whatever. I wouldn't... Here's... I know about how, like, arbitration works in baseball, and it's so fucking asinine. It's purposely dense. They go out of their way to be like, well, how many wins did you have? And they don't use any objective advanced statistics. They use this old-school RBIs and all this. And it's like, oh, you know, these arbiters, most of them don't really know anything about the subject. You have to educate them from the ground up and simple wins, blah, blah, blah. But the same thing here. You would think it would be good if they could get somebody that has a half a clue and doesn't look at a guy and go, oh, yeah, you know, you're a professional athlete and your body is literally the only thing you have of value and everything you do with your body impacts your ability to make money. But you just took shit on accident. Oh, yeah, I'm sure that happened again and again and again. Yeah, sure, Joshy.
Yeah, so, I mean, I don't know what that means for Barnett, but, I mean, a few weeks ago he was talking like he was going to get suspended and there was nothing he could do about it, and apparently that's not the case and he can fight any time. I'm not sure at 40 how much more he wants to fight, but 40 is actually on the young side for the heavyweight division in the UFC, so he might have a couple more years in him.
I just realized Josh Barnett learned a lesson of Trump. Just fuck it and go for it. You know, what do you got to lose? It worked again. We are living in the age of the entrepreneur, the age of the adventurer. You, anybody listening, do you think that girl won't date you? Fuck it, man. Go for it. She does want you. She does want you to just grab her and have sex with her right there. You might think, couldn't this possibly end up with me inadvertently raping her? Maybe in a normal world, but we live in fucking weirdo world now where you can't rape women because it turns out they all actually do want it. It's crazy. Anything you've ever dreamed of can come true. Except for a woman president.
A woman who's not going to be running for president anytime soon is Amanda Lemos. She was actually suspended by USADA. She's a UFC fighter for 2 years. She is a bantamweight and tested positive for the steroid stanozolol and its metabolites stemming from an out-of-competition sample collected November 8th, 2017. Lemos won't be eligible to fight again in the UFC until November 2019.
That's an old school one. That's she one of those, is, like, whenever you hear one of those old ozolols or whatever at the end, it's always like, wait, really? You're doing nandrolol? What? What are you, stupid?
Dianabol,
like,
yeah.
Like, the, yeah, like, they use that stuff, like, they don't put that in horses anymore because, like, dogs can just smell it on them. It's so blatant.
Lemos is one of four fighters to test positive for stanozolol since USADA began leading the UFC's anti-doping program in 2015. Carlos Felipe, Viscardi Andrade, and Guido Canetti were the others. All of them hail from South America.
Like, that's one of those things that when you get busted for it, everybody believes that you didn't take it on purpose. Like,
it's so dumb.
Yeah, like, that's Nowitzki saying, now I believe John Jones didn't do it on purpose, because nobody would take that on purpose. Who'd be that stupid? Well, you know, athletes. Athletes would be that stupid. People that get punched in the face for money, not that smart.
Well, we've talked about it in the past where it's the question of why don't women pop anywhere near as often as men? And I think it's because, like, testosterone or whatever shows up way more readily in their system than a man's because it's not naturally occurring. And then, you know, you hear something like this and you're like, oh, my God, what a dumbass drug, especially for a woman to take. And I don't mean that, like, in a sexist way, but it's like they have to be even more careful. And that's why I think they pop less than men.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I was UFC on, obviously, earlier today, and I was watching, they had a bunch of Rose Namajunas fights, and I watched her versus Michelle Watterson, and, you know, it was a good performance. I was like, oh, Rose is pretty damn good. She's also blocked me on Twitter, I realized. I don't know what the fuck I did to get blocked by her, so probably because I opposed pedophiles or something, I don't know. But I'm watching her, and, like, she looks thinner than she did in my mind when she fought Joanna. I'm like, I wonder if she's on steroids and that's why she's better now. And then I started thinking, I wonder how steroids work with women athletes compared to men. Just because everything we know about, like, for the most part, about how performance-enhancing drugs work and all this shit, it's almost always on men. Because men are the only people in the world who really have always, you know, needed this stuff, because we get paid money to do athletics. We don't just get to do it in front of, like, 13 lesbians on a Thursday to make everyone feel better about themselves. So with these women using the steroids and everything, we know how to mask it for a man's body. We know how many weeks out it takes to break down and all that. But women ain't men. They got all kinds of different hormones. They have boobs, which always get in the way of cutting weight and things like that. They got a lot of fat on their body. Their asses are shaky and shit. Like, I don't know, like, we may have no idea how this stuff works with women. Maybe they can get away with doing anything or doing nothing. Unless you're Cyborg, in which you can do whatever the fuck you want, and everybody's like, it doesn't matter.
Speaking of somebody who does whatever the hell they want, John Jones posted an interesting video on Instagram at a odd time. If you're familiar, gun control has been in the news lately, so John Jones decided to put an Instagram video up from his personal Instagram account at the shooting range with some kind of rifle, just blasting it at a target and smiling and laughing, like, you know, 2 days after the march all across the country for more gun control. It was interesting timing, but I always find John Jones amusing, and he's still quite the troll, apparently.
Is he? Or is it more likely that he's just completely oblivious to what's going on in the world?
I think he knows.
Well, maybe.
Gun control is like the biggest story in the country for the last month. I mean, that's everywhere. He's got kids in school. He's got to know.
John Jones is an aloof dick who lives in New Mexico.
True.
Well,
true.
Like, if there's anybody I could just see even like, oh, he's got kids in school. Like, John Jones is involved in his kids going to school. Come on. He's probably been doing coke for the past 3 weeks or something. I don't know. But, you know what? When I watched that video, my first thought was, okay, you know John Jones has done this before.
Yes.
And he wants to look cool, looks like a badass, I want to do this fast and violent, all this stuff. I was like, wow, he really didn't shoot that many shots. It was like a bang, 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 and then it took him a couple seconds to put the new cartridge in or the magazine, whatever, clip, and then it went bang, bang, bang. It's like, again, it would be deadly. You'd be able to kill a lot of people that way. I'm not saying it's good or anything, but it's not one of those like, brr, brr, like you kind of see the stuff on the news, I'm like, I thought it'd be a little faster.
Maybe
I thought it'd be more deadly.
Maybe
I thought John Jones
would
be more deadly with a... Well, it's possible, but he's... I don't know. He hit the target. So, that's pretty
Have you ever seen that video of him trying to dunk a basketball?
No.
He can't dunk a basketball.
How could he not dunk a basketball?
I don't know. It's really weird.
I mean,
really
I can't
weird.
Dunk a basketball because I'm 5'9". And,
right.
and then here's the thing. I can dunk it if the hoop is low enough.
I'm saying on a 10-foot hoop he can't dunk.
That's my point. That was like, he's 6'3" and has gigantic like pterodactyl arms. If I was 6', like I'm 5'10", I can get the ball up and like I could like hit the rim with it a little bit. If I had like another half a foot on top of me, I'm pretty sure I could dunk the basketball. And I'm not a world champion cage fighter. In case you haven't noticed.
While you were talking, I was going through John Jones's Instagram, and there's another shooting range video back on January 31st, 2017, and he wrote, had a good time shooting with friends, teammates, and members of the Albuquerque Police Department today, who have arrested him multiple times, and a police officer he called a fucking pig. But apparently they had buried the hatchet by January of 2017.
Hey, it's like getting together with your coworkers. You see these people every day. You want to get to know them outside of the work environment, see how everybody's doing. Plus, you know, this dickhead got to, like, cross it off. Like, I did 2 hours community service, police outreach.
And then his most recent picture, he's, like, at the barber, and his barber is wearing a T-shirt, and Jones is pointing to it that says, "Hey, pussy, are you still there?"
I love John Jones.
It also looks like he's holding his credit card in his hand with most of the number visible.
Is it like a gold card or a black card or some reason why we should care? Or is he just an idiot who thinks that showing your credit card is as like street as making it rain? Is that what he's just saying? Hey, look at my credit card.
I think he's just dumb. It's a Visa. It's red. You can see like the first 8 digits. It's very odd. It's an odd, odd man.
He really is. And I, you know, going back in as I really look at it in the totality, I'm wondering if him and Cormier is not my favorite feud of all time.
It's pretty good.
I'd have to really think about it and go through it, because there's been some good stuff, you know, Mir Lesnar, but just for constant sniping, and even now, after it's all over, they're still going at it. There's just still, like, no matter what Cormier does, Jones is there, and he makes his little comment, and the little snide remarks, and then there's just Jones. What's he doing? He's just poking at Cormier. No fucking reason to do it. Cormier's not fighting right now. Cormier hasn't talked shit about Jones. Jones is just out there reminding him, hey, asshole, I can do what I want to you. I can call you a pussy.
Yeah, it's too bad. Too bad.
Well, John Jones is the guy that drives people to school shootings. Like, he's that asshole.
It'd be one thing if he was just a jerk and an a-hole and whatever, but could fight. It's just the fact that
he fucks up so bad he can't even fight, and it's just like he's wasting this entire career where we could be watching him as heavyweight champion destroying all these old fucks in the heavyweight division and fighting like Ngannou and Stipe and Brock and all this shit, and it's like we don't even get to see it because he's such a moron. It's just,
well, there,
like, that bums me out.
We've definitely lost that. Although when I look at it, in some respects, it's actually been the greatest thing he's ever done, is be such a fuck-up.
I know, you've argued that before, yeah.
Well, but it's not just that, well, the normal stuff, but look at, like, actually, competitive fighting in the cage, his legacy, there's still nobody for him to fight. Like, he's been gone for years, essentially for years now, as a full-time competitor, he's been out of action. There's been no new challengers. Nobody's showed up, and everybody's going like, oh, yeah, that's the one. Can't wait to, like, maybe a little Rumble Johnson at one point, but, you know, like, it's not like people go, wow, he's been fucking up or whatever. Like, he's still got all these wins over the top 10. They're still the top guys. He's just owned them. Plus, being a fuck-up like this makes the wins over Cormier even better.
Yeah.
Because it's just a final dig to Cormier of, you, by the way, you know how hard you work? You know all those tears that came down your cheek as you ran that last sprint, thinking about your dead child, how you would dedicate your athletics to your dead child. You actually, that's how hard you worked. You worked for I'm out doing coke every night just for shits and giggles, just to make it a little fair. I'm doing coke the week of, motherfucker. That's how little I care about this. Mac is still just cakewalk to you. Plus your kids in hell.
What?
With Eddie Guerrero.
What was the Chris Lieben line?
Your fatherless bastard?
Yes, thank you.
Your fatherless bastard. God damn, those guys are great.
That was an awesome show.
Who says that to somebody? Who points out, you fatherless bastard? Like, wow, you're an asshole. You made the guy. You took a guy. Chris Lieben pissed on a man's bed, and he became a sympathetic figure. That's how much of an asshole Bobby Southworth is.
Right. We got some upcoming fights announced. Santiago Ponzinibbio versus Kamaru Usman at UFC Chile on May 19th.
Usman better put up or shut up. He's been put up a lot of talk. Like, nobody wants to fight me. Nobody wants to fight me. Well, Ponzinibbio is a pretty decent guy for you to beat. So do it.
Yeah, two top 10 guys trying to move into the top 5. Very good fight, especially in Chile. Is Ponzinibbio from Argentina?
I think he's from Argentina, but I think you said Chile. It's Chile, by the way. Chile.
Comprendo. And we've got Neil Magny versus Gunny Nelson at UFC Liverpool on May 27th.
That's a odd fight. I don't know why, but I feel like they're the two least violent fighters in the UFC. Like, neither one of them, like, hits the other person. They feel like they're very gentle fighters.
They've won a lot of fights for guys who don't hit. And
that's impressive, yeah.
In the main event, it's being talked about, rumored. It looks like we're going to get Darren Till versus Stephen Wonderboy Thompson headlining UFC Liverpool.
That's actually a pretty big fight.
Yeah.
Setting aside the fact that why would you give any prospect to fight against Stephen Thompson? What did Till do to piss off somebody besides go out there and be willing to fight anyone, anywhere, anytime, basically? But when they first kind of like announced, like, the main event's going to be Darren Till versus somebody, and then the first name floated around was Jorge Masvidal, and I was like, I can see that. Like, I can see where that fight would make sense, would be a good fight, but that's not really, like, sexy. Stephen Thompson, he feels like what I would call, like, a real main eventer.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is a guy, like, you've paid money to see him on pay-per-view, and I've talked about this for years on end, because I'm a very smart person who has to reiterate things, because the world's just not fucking listening. That there is long-term value on putting a guy on pay-per-view, even if that show doesn't do well right away. And this is an example of that. You take somebody like Stephen Thompson, who was not like a main eventer, but because he's had the multiple title shots, including headlining on a pay-per-view, he now feels like, wow, that's a real star. Even though, What does it matter? Top five, top three? Like, is he really that much different than Jorge Masvidal? Not really, but it feels like, wow, a guy that almost won the title.
Yeah, I personally don't like that fight for Till. I think Till's a striker and Thompson is tricky, and nobody really outstrikes Thompson on the feet. Like, it just doesn't happen. He's got that awkward, you know, karate style, and I don't know if Till's just going to be kind of able to ambush him and overpower him and take him out or what. Till's a big 170-pound fighter. He's a strong dude coming off that destruction of Donald Cerrone, but I don't know. Thompson's tricky, and nobody seems to be able to figure out that puzzle on the feet with him.
It'll be the most important fight of Thompson's career, and well, this is why. Because, setting aside the title fight shit. But, of course, yeah. But Thompson's like Machida, and, you know, they got that style, and it's really dangerous and deadly, and just nobody can deal with it. But it does fade. And once it fades, once he slows down, and he will, he'll slow down a tiny little bit, that's when he starts to get knocked out. And a guy like Till is the kind of guy that will come along at the right time, and you'll go, oh, there it is. In the past 9 months or whatever, that's when Stephen Thompson lost a tiny little bit, and it turns out that this young breed of just animal like Darren Till, time for him to take over. So it's possible that this could be that moment. I don't know if it is yet. It doesn't feel like it is, but Stephen Thompson's also older than we realize.
Yeah, I think he's like 35.
Yeah, like, he feels like he should be 25, because he kind of looks young, and he's relatively new still to the UFC, and he's got that Wonder Boy nickname and all that. Like, you nickname yourself Boy, you're just going to look young, or come across as young. But
Thompson's 35, yeah, born in 83. Geez.
Yeah, I mean, that's an old man, let me tell you. I'm not doing any karate tournaments.
He debuted in the UFC in 2012, so it's been 6 years. Anyway, what else is going on? We've got 17 years ago this week, not in the United States.
2000 and... what year is that? 2003? No, I'm sorry. It's just 2005. Yeah, because 20 years ago... Wait, hold on. What year is it? 2018? 2008? 1998 plus 3? Yeah, 98 plus 3. 2001. March 2001. April 2001. March 2001. Okay, a different time in this world.
Pre-9/11.
Pre-9/11, man. That's a weird time in life. That's a really weird... Huh, let's see. I was getting ready to graduate from high school. Okay. I still had my future ahead of me. I still thought, I might turn out to be something. Back then, my brother was willing to spend time in my parents' basement a lot. So. Yeah. Let's see. Obviously, it's got to be Pride. 2001. I remember. Let's see. Okay. They had Mark Coleman versus Nogueira was in October of 2001, because that was the September 2001. Don Fry fought on that show also, and like all the Americans were just like devastated, blah blah blah. So that could have been that era. So it's before then. So Soccer Abba loses to Wanderlei Silva.
Correct.
I got skill.
Good job. March 25th, 2001, Saitama Super Arena. In the main event, we had Wanderlei Silva defeating Soccer Abba via TKO with knees and soccer kicks at a minute 38 of the first round. Must have been a sad day for you.
That was a brutal fight. It's a really hard one to watch.
The whole 98 seconds?
Yeah, there's like some knees to the head. They're just like straight to the back of the skull. Oof. And they're not just like little knees. They're like these, like a jackhammer coming down as hard as possible, like Sakuraba's head is against the canvas. It's like, holy shit. And it was the first show that they had with the new rules in Pride that allowed the knees and the soccer kicks, and it seemed like Sakuraba sure as shit didn't anticipate some of this stuff coming from a wild man. And
no one told him.
Exactly. It's just like, wait, what the fuck? Since when can you do that?
Yeah. Next time, give me a heads up about that. They fought a couple times, right?
Three times in all, yeah.
It was a three? Okay. And yeah. Sakuraba lost all of them?
Yeah. Okay. They just kept dragging his body out there. I think it was like 2003 or 2000, maybe 2005 or so, I think is when they had their third fight. And at that point, it's like, this man's a shell. What is Sakuraba doing? He's got to go away. Right. Here we are, like 15 years later, he's still doing shit. So it was Wanderlei for that matter. But, I mean, Sakuraba's been, essentially since this fight, it was the beginning of the end for him, even though he had some moments. He should not have been fighting for almost 20 years. That's a lot of times to be getting hit in the head when you're past your brain-beating prime. Like, when like you're at the point where people are like, I don't know, man, the next shot could be a real bad one for you. And you
I'm
do it
watching
for 20,
those
yeah,
knees, holy
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, they're really tough.
They're like to the back of the neck.
Yeah, like they could kill a man. Like that's what you would do if you want to kill a man.
He was turtled up and he was just dropping the knee on the back of his neck. I feel like I saw that fight, but I didn't remember that for whatever reason. Wow.
Yeah, that's a bad shit there.
His nose is busted open. I almost think his nose got busted open from his nose smashing into the mat from the knees he was taking from the back of the head.
I don't know, but you know,
not good.
Like when you see the way, like after the final knee, Sakuraba just kind of flops backwards onto his hip, and as the referee stops it, and of course these Japanese referees, the most traumatic, like no, and they just jump in there flailing around and makes it seem like it's even worse. Except for in this one. The way that Wanderlei ran away, completely unscathed, hadn't been touched, looking at his most ferocious, just looks like an animal. And then Sakuraba is just on the ground, and it really came across as, oh boy, what just happened there? Like, this animal was let in the ring, and Sakuraba is just like, it came across like he was a pro wrestler, and they put him in there and didn't tell him it's going to be a shoot. He's just like, what the fuck was that? You
Sakuraba,
can't do this.
He did land one good shot that, like, knocked.
It kind of staggers him a little.
Him, yeah, he went down to a knee, Wanderlei.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to give Sakuraba credit because he would go out on his shield. He was throwing punches and trying to hang with him, but it was just, he was too little. He shouldn't have been fighting roided up Wanderlei weighing probably 215, you know?
No, he should have been cutting weight and fighting BJ Penn.
Right. Yeah. Anyway, that was 17 years ago today. Probably a day that Sakuraba can't remember anyway. Also on that card, Dan Henderson defeated Henzo Gracie by knockout at a minute 40 of the first. Mark Coleman defeated Alan Goes.
Alan Goes, yeah.
By TKO. In the opener, Vitor Belfort defeated Bobby Southworth, who we were just talking about, by rear naked choke.
That fight sucked. That was part of like one of Vitor's stretches there, where he just shat the bed every time. Like he'd go out there, he'd win, but I don't even think he really did that bad. So much as all anybody had ever seen from him was the Blitzkrieg, and when he didn't do that, you're like, well, what's wrong with Vitor? Like the poor son of a bitch, going out there on multiple titles. And championships and all this shit. And if he doesn't knock somebody out in 30 seconds with 50 punches, people are like, what's wrong with you? Did you just not train this time? You don't care? What's wrong with you?
Bobby Southworth must have, like, towered over him. I feel like Bobby Southworth was big, like a heavyweight or something, wasn't he?
He made it to light heavyweight on the show.
Did he? Okay, all right.
He was just kind of pudgy.
Yeah, maybe that's what I'm thinking.
Piece of shit is a human being, too.
Memories, huh? No big shows this weekend. No Bellator, no UFC. Another weekend off. Do you have any plans to watch anything coming up?
There's a big main event this weekend. Christ. But tomorrow, Thursday, whatever, when people listen to this, I'm driving to South Dakota for the for 4 or 5 days there for the Easter weekend.
Oh, okay. Is that something you're looking forward to?
Yeah, it's gonna be good times. I can the first piece of bread I will be eating is the world famous Godfather's pizza, which I'm looking forward to.
Okay. It's not the thing you get at the church, the Eucharist.
Communion wafer? I've had that. I've had the Eucharist.
I don't know.
They don't put a nice delicious sweet sauce on the Eucharist when you're at church though.
Bummer.
No cheese to use with it. And the wine is kind of watered down.
Is Godfather's Pizza the one where the guy ran for president? Herman Cain?
Yes. Herman Cain ran Godfather's Pizza. Yeah, it's, they're almost all west of the Mississippi.
Yeah, I've never seen one.
Yeah, I love the pizza. I was looking forward to it when I went to South Dakota for Thanksgiving. I was so excited. I'm like, I'm going to get to eat Godfather's. This is great. And when I got there, the Godfather's in town was closed for renovations the whole time I was there. It literally opened the day we left. We were leaving town, and it says, now open, grand opening today. And I was just like, are you fucking kidding me? So I didn't get it. So I've been waiting for it. I'm coming for you, Godfather's.
Okay. And do you just get cheese? What kind of pizza do you normally go for?
At Godfather's Pizza, I do just cheese for Godfather's, yeah.
Interesting. And normally?
Usually I do sauce. Usually, if it's a thin crust pizza, always sausage. But it's usually just for me, if I'm ordering, it's only sausage.
Okay.
I'll eat pepperoni if people have it, but that's it. That's my only toppings, pepperoni or sausage.
Okay, that is kind of what I would have predicted.
Yeah, I know. Big shock. Mike's not eating, like, fucking green peppers. Who saw that coming?
I like how green peppers are the exotic item that you come up with. They're in every grocery store on Earth.
That's what makes it so absurd. That's exotic for me.
Right, that's what I'm trying to say.
Oh, you put pepper, huh?
Speaking of absurd stories, we're going to move on to stuff here. A woman says she has failed a drug test because of her hair weave.
Wait, she what?
A New York Police Department surgeon who once worked in First Lady Sherilyn McRae's personal security detail has coiffed up quite an excuse after testing positive for marijuana.
Wait, First Lady who?
I don't know. Some lady in, she must have been the former, like, governor's wife or something. This
okay,
is New
so
York State.
I heard that. I'm going, I don't. I'm like, that doesn't sound like any president's wife. I've
no,
heard of.
No. Like, this is anyways, from the New York Post, so I'm assuming the New York governor. She's claiming the department mistakenly tested a strand from her human hair weave. The harebrained claim is the latest bid by Sergeant Tracy Gittens to keep her job after a random drug test came up positive for pot, and she was pulled from overseeing security at the Gracie Mansion, sources tell the Post. This is the best excuse for
That's
a drug
amazing.
Test failure yet. I'm wearing another person's hair, and you pulled the hair out from the weave, and the weave had pot in it somehow.
What's great is it might be real. I don't know. Like, maybe that is the real reason. It's an awesome excuse.
Why would you let them pull hair from your weave for a drug test?
I have no idea. I don't know how it works. I don't know how women... Are you asking me how black women's hair weave works as far as, like, what hair you're going to give them or whatever? Like, I don't know if they know which one is getting pulled, that they can feel their hair. It's fucking weird. There's a whole bunch of people. They're twisting another human being's hair into their own. These
right.
aren't bright people. It's weird.
I agree that that's weird. But how long would, like, THC or whatever stay in the hair of another person that's been cut off, turned into a wig, and put on your head?
I don't – it would depend, I think, on how they treat the hair. Because the reason, like –
You think it could stay in it forever because of the way they chemically whatever?
I don't.
Whatever they have.
That's the thing. I don't really know. I know that, like, the general thumb is, like, it's, like, what, 30 or 45 days, something like that, maybe even 2 months for weed can show up in your hair when they do tests for people. But I don't know if that's, like, how long it I assume that's how long it takes for like that hair to grow out. I don't know how else it would get out of your hair if it's once it's like in the hair. I don't know. Does it like dissolve and evaporate? I don't really know how chemicals work. I'm not smart.
She's claiming they snipped from the back of her head where she couldn't see. She is claiming that had they actually tested her real hair, it would have been clean of drugs. She doesn't smoke marijuana, and she's unaware of how it may have gotten into her system, one police source told the Post. That's why she's thinking it may have been the weave.
Look, setting it, also acknowledging this is marijuana, this is really stupid that we're having this right. discussion at all. Right. But to me, on these things, because it's marijuana, and it's not like, there are drugs that people could test positive for that even if somebody's like, hey, this is just my personal life, like heroin or something, you go, this might be evidence of like a deeper problem. Like, or like, you know, like when people test positive like for meth and they're not meth heads, you go, okay, is this person like going to be wired all the time? Will it affect their judgment? Nobody really thinks this is affecting her judgment. There's no evidence that she's been high at work. So I've always thought when it comes to something like this, the appropriate thing for everybody is just to say, look, you know, it's illegal. You get caught. What we're going to do is, you test positive, you test negative, and we're just going to give you like extra drug testing for a little bit. Or especially if you could like prove, like if you could pass a test now, like if she really could just say, hey, I'm clean now, then you could just be like, she ain't Mike Coughlin where the shit probably like seeped into my skin. It would take a while. You'd be like, okay, even if she did use it, she's clearly not some habitual user. Also, it's 2018, and she protects the first lady of apparently New York, or the former first lady of New York. Who the fuck did that person have security for?
It is New York. The end of the story says, she's not the first cop to attempt a crazy-sounding dodge after testing positive for pot. In 2006, an anti-terror detective, Anthony Chiafalo, claimed his wife had laced his meatballs with marijuana without telling him in hopes that a positive drug test would force him into retirement. The Spacey meatball defense failed utterly. Chiafalo was fired. 2 years later, he lost a Manhattan Supreme Court lawsuit that claimed the firing was arbitrary, capricious, unreasonable, and unconstitutional. So her chances probably aren't good at getting out of this one.
I would think, though, that if anybody in the world could come up with a good excuse, a very plausible and believable excuse for failing for marijuana, it'd be cops. They've literally heard every excuse there is. That's all they do all day long is, I don't know how I got there. I don't know what's going on. I got a hair weave. I got a weave? Weave. It's in the weave. The weave. There we go. And she must have thought, yeah, that sounded good when somebody said it to me.
New York Post is so awesome. I love everything about it. Because I feel like it's more real than, like, Star, but it's also utterly ridiculous. The number one, there's two stories immediately.
It's like the half-guarded of the real world.
I, like, refreshed it. And there's an exclusive on the New York Post. And there's a picture of a judge vaping his way through high-profile murder trial. And there's a All picture right. of him with the vape thing, and it's lit up. And he's just, like, nonchalantly smoking this thing.
In court?
Yes, during the trial. Brooklyn Supreme Court Justice what? Vincent Del Guidici.
Oh, a point of clarification there, right, real quick, because yes. this comes up all the time. In state of New York, they call yes. like their first level of court the Supreme Court. So it's okay. not an actual Supreme Court. Like, we think Supreme Court is being like the top court. They actually have like a different. I think they actually call theirs the Court of Appeals. It's a weird, okay. weird thing. It always comes up, but yeah.
Okay. Either way, this is a real judge apparently. Routinely sneaks rips from a vape pen as he presides over cases, including the ongoing murder trial of accused Brooklyn Ripper Daniel St. Hubert. Everybody knows about it, but nobody says anything, says one court worker. The Post observed Del Guidici casually drying from the e-cig all this week while St. Hubert stood trial for allegedly eviscerating 6-year-old Prince Joshua Oviedo and severely injuring 7-year-old Michaela Capers in an East New York housing project in 2014. From the bench, Del Guidici would slyly hold his hands up to his face as though stroking his goatee in contemplation, but a blue light peeking out from his closed fist was a dead giveaway he was secretly using a vaporizer photo show.
Well, yeah. I don't care. I know why.
It feels unprofessional. I know. I guess, it just feels unprofessional. In 2018, it's like, come on, dude. Give it a rest for an hour.
I'm just thinking, like, in the up until, like, 1970s or 1980s, like, every judge smoked during trials. Because everyone smoked everywhere. But, like, can you imagine any of the old, like, old judges, like, in their ball gowns and their wigs and shit? They all were smoking, like, a pipe. In fact, the pipe probably made you smarter. Like, smart people used to always have a pipe. So, maybe he's just ahead of the curve. This is like the digital pipe is what he's doing.
Smoking or vaping inside courtrooms is illegal under the state's Clean Indoor Air Act, and breaking the law is punishable by a fine of up to $2,000.
They can't really do anything to him while he's on the bench. I don't know if you can be arrested if you're on the bench.
When the judge, e-cig dangling from his lips, asked what the reporter wanted to ask about, he gestured to the device and said, "I was hoping to speak to you about that precisely." The jurist of 38 years quickly pocketed the vaporizer. "No comment," he repeatedly said.
I love that he just had it in his hand. Just walk around, hold it like it's an actual cigarette. Like he's some sort of like starlet from the 30s with a big old cigarette. Like, "Yes, darling, what do you want to talk to me about? How about the e-cigarette? What are you talking about?" Puts it in the pocket. I don't know. No comment.
It is interesting because obviously, I mean, it's still bad for you, but the main concern indoors is like secondhand smoke and people have to smell it or whatever. And obviously that's much less of an issue with those things. But even
it's zero is not an issue at all.
It's
there's no the evaporation is it's water.
Yeah, but I feel like it gives off like a scent or something that people.
Oh, it might
give
off a scent,
day.
But it's not secondhand smoke.
Right.
The leading. By the way, everybody knows secondhand smoke the leading cause of no deaths.
Yeah. That's a weird one. I think it's just a bad look. Personally, it's like. Some kids got murdered. Can you not vape for a couple hours, buddy? Fuckhead.
Although, again, he's probably a much better judge that way. Because he's not going to have any nicotine withdrawals, no cravings. Even if, you know, he took a break every hour to smoke, he'd still have some weird, like, there will always be a tiny moment where he'd go, "Oh, I kind of want a cigarette." Now he's just like, "Yeah, overruled. You may proceed." And then he stabbed me. Good answer.
And the other headline that caught my eye on the post was desperate Jared Fogle calls on Trump in latest bid to get out of prison. Former Subway pitchman Jared Fogle has issued another desperate plea for his release, this time calling on Trump for help. The 40-year-old is currently serving more than 15 years for distributing child pornography and traveling to have paid sex with a minor after pleading guilty in 2015. Filed a petition this week for a writ of habeas corpus, which is the Latin term used to describe an official appeal for a prisoner's release. In it, Fogle claimed his plea was unlawful because it included an unwarranted change of conspiracy. He said he would have never pleaded guilty on account of the charge not being covered by the federal law related to sexual misconduct with minors, thus causing his due process rights under the U.S. Constitution to be violated. Fogle named the warden of his Colorado prison in his habeas application as a defendant, along with his sentencing judge and Donald Trump.
I have no idea what the legal merits of his case. I will say, I don't know where he got the idea that Donald Trump would be sympathetic to grown men soliciting sex from minors. I don't know why he thinks Donald Trump would have a problem with that. It boggles the mind.
Yeah, if you had to pick a president to ask for help in that regard, he'd probably be the first one.
Clinton. I mean, depending. Oh, I'll put it this way. Depends on how attractive and how much she came on to you. Clinton would pardon it. Be like,
Too bad.
He'd be like, "Hey, bud, we've all been there. We've all had it. She's 14. She's grinding on your knee. Next thing you know, you can't help it."
You know, Fogel's wishing Roy Moore was president.
Yeah, well, that was my exact joke.
You didn't say it, did you?
I referenced it.
I thought you said Bill Clinton.
Well, no, but the first joke was Trump. Where would Trump? Why would Trump be sympathetic to coronavirus?
Got it.
Anyway, you sound weird all of a sudden. I don't know.
Do I? I don't know. I always sound weird. Let's just.
Anyway, you're back.
Oh, good. Yeah. So another interesting story. We talked about this guy probably 6 months ago. Do you remember Mad Mike Hughes?
Mad Mike Hughes. Did he also get hit by a train?
Nope, that's Matt Hughes. Different guy. This is a guy who believed the Earth is flat and planned to fly up into the atmosphere in his self-made rocket.
Yeah.
Well, he finally got it off. He was the former limo driver, 61 years old, and self-taught rocket scientist. He finally blasted himself in the direction of space. After many delays, Hughes propelled himself almost 2,000 feet into the air Saturday before a hard landing in the Mojave Desert, about 200 miles east of L.A. He told the Associated Press that outside of an aching back, he's fine. He said he's relieved, and I'm tired of people saying I chickened out and didn't build a rocket. I'm tired of that stuff. I manned up, and I did it.
I wish I could get to the point in my life where I would have to say, people keep calling me a coward because I didn't build the homemade rocket ship.
Well, 2,000 feet's not high. I mean, it's high. You wouldn't want to fall from that height. The planes fly at 30,000 feet. Like,
I know.
He thought he was going to get high enough to prove the Earth was, like, flat. He claims it's like a Frisbee is his what he uses as a reference to claim what the shape of the Earth is. And 2,000 feet up is not much.
No. It's one of those things where when I first hit it, my first thought was, wow, pretty fucking good. You know, 2,000 feet's about, I don't know, 1,999 feet more than I thought he was going to get off the ground. So that's pretty good. But then I'm going, wait a second, don't planes fly at like 5 or 6 miles up? How many feet are in a mile? Oh, that's not very good at all.
It's not even half a mile.
No, I'm like, 2,000 feet? The Sears Tower's that tall. You know, okay, you went up to the top of a tall building. That's really not, you know, I've been at the top of buildings like that before. Yeah.
It's slightly taller than the Sears Tower.
Yeah, so in that area. And still, again, it's still impressive to go that high on something you made at home when your background is limo driver. And keep in mind, he's a limo driver. If he had anything else in his background that was more impressive than limo driver, we would know him by that. So limo driver is the peak he's reached. It's not like he's a limo driver who was formerly an engineer. It's like, no, he's just limo driver.
According to the AP, Hughes converted some scaffolding and a mobile home into a ramp and modified it to launch from a vertical angle so he wouldn't fall back to the ground on public land. Much of the reason for the delay has been getting permission to use federal or state areas for the experiment.
Was it because everybody's response is, are you out of your fucking mind?
Hughes reached a speed that an assistant named Waldo Stakes estimated
to be around 350
miles per hour.
Of course his assistant's name is Waldo. Waldo. His assistant, okay, 350 miles an hour is pretty fucking good. Wow. Like, I bet when you get to 350 miles an hour in your homemade rocket ship, party goes, holy shit. Like, this is real. Like, there's got to be that point where I don't know how many miles an hour you got to go before you realize I am not in control of whether I live or die anymore.
Hughes was dropping too fast, though, and he had to send out a second parachute because his first one wasn't slowing him down enough. Despite the two parachutes, it was still a rough landing. Am I glad I did it? Hughes said. Yeah, I guess. I'll feel it in the morning. I won't be able to get out of bed. At least I can go home and have dinner and see my cats tonight.
I mean, He sounds so nonchalant about it. Dude, you went 350 miles an hour in a rocket ship. And your response is, yeah, I guess. Like, you should, aren't you, should you be like, that's pretty badass, not, I can see my cat.
My story is really incredible, Hughes said. It's got a bunch of storylines. The garage built thing, I'm an older guy, it's out in the middle of nowhere, plus the flat earth.
I was going to say, the disbelief in Newtonian physics as you use Newtonian physics to propel yourself up in the air to disprove the very thing that you're relying upon to live?
Someone else who might not live that long is Albert Bell. He was in the news this past week.
What?
Former, you know Albert Bell?
Yeah.
I'm exaggerating. He'll probably live a while longer.
He was arrested.
He doesn't look well if you see his mugshot. Former Major League Baseball All-Star Albert Bell was arrested in Scottsdale, Arizona on Sunday and charged with two counts of indecent exposure and two counts of driving under the influence. According to a statement from police that was...
He pled guilty to decent exposure.
Bell was arrested outside a Phoenix soccer stadium for allegedly urinating next to a parked car and shaking his genitals at the car's owner and his 15-year-old daughter.
I love any story that involves a man shaking his genitals at people, because it's such like a base animal thing to do, like, eh.
According to the probable cause statement filed in court documents Monday, a man told police that his 15-year-old daughter saw Bell urinating next to the driver's side door of his car in a parking lot outside Phoenix Rising Stadium. When the man yelled at Bell, according to the probable cause statement, Bell replied by shaking his genitals in the direction of the man and his daughter. When confronted by police, Bell, whose eyes were bloodshot and breath smelled of alcohol, said he had exchanged words with the man but denied urinating, according to the probable cause statement. Police found two wet spots in the parking lot next to the car. Bell also told police that he had been driving. Bell, 51, was arrested on suspicion of indecent exposure, driving under the influence, and DUI with a blood alcohol content of 0.08 or higher.
First of all, I've been there. I've been the guy that time in New York when I had to piss real, real, real bad after I'd been drinking on the plane flight and on the train ride, and I had to piss, and I'm in Queens. I start finally in the duck into an alley, and the next thing I know is I'm going, oh, this feels amazing. I hear, hey, are you exposing yourself to children? I'm like, huh? What? No, I start running away, and then next somebody's like, yeah, they pulled a gun on you. I'm like, what the fuck? So these things do happen to people. It doesn't mean you're an animal. You know, sometimes you gotta go, you gotta go. I feel sorry for him. He shouldn't get arrested for this. The dude tried to take a piss, and somebody goes, hey, what are you doing? He goes, I shook his dick at him. Like, no, this is not how you'd want people to behave in the world, but should you really arrest somebody for this? Should somebody really have a record for took a piss when he was drunk in a soccer game? He's at a soccer stadium. How much lower can Albert Bell's life go than being arrested for pissing next to a minivan in a soccer stadium?
Well, he also used a cork bat in 1994, allegedly chased down two teenagers who egged his house
yes.
on Halloween, and pleaded guilty to stalking his former girlfriend, and was sentenced to 90 days in jail and 5 years of supervised probation.
Oh, yeah. For a while there, a couple of years, he was a monster of a player.
Yeah, I remember him on the Indians.
Yep, and then he went to the White Sox and the Orioles. But when he fell off, though, he just fell off, and he didn't give a shit. And it was very obvious that he just didn't give a shit. He got fat. He just said, I don't care. And he was such a very surly man. Which is why Yeah. Well, when you started all this, and you're like, well, somebody else won't be around for much longer. I'm like, Albert Bell. I'm like, Albert Bell's going to die? Then I'm like, why would you bring up, like, if Albert Bell was diagnosed with cancer, you wouldn't mention that. You wouldn't be like, by the way, did you know this baseball player was pretty good for a couple years in the mid-90s, got cancer? I'd be like, yeah, okay, that's a weird one. Any update on, like, Dennis Eckersley while you're at it or something? But so when you say, like, he's not going to be around much longer, it's like, what kind of weird disease has he got that's newsworthy? Really, Albert Bell's got malaria and super AIDS. Yeah, who knew?
Another guy who probably almost got AIDS, but instead had $96,000 stolen from him by three hookers in the Bronx.
John Jones.
This past week. This guy apparently hired three prostitutes to celebrate a $96,000 payday from a legal settlement. The 30-year-old victim met up with one of the women at the Van Cortlandt Motel on Broadway near West 256th Street Sunday night. Have you ever been there? He showed her his bag full of $96,000 cash, and she called two friends, cops said. The victim was hoping for a foursome, but the prostitutes had a different idea. They brought two men along with them, including one who was packing heat. The men hopped into a black minivan and drove off with the loot, police said.
You can't trust hookers.
Cops released photos and videos of the suspects and are asking anyone with information to call Crime Stoppers at 1-800-577-TIPS.
All he wanted to do is put just a tip. But now you got to... First of all, bitch... He's an idiot, and she's a bitch. Like, if you had... I get you're a hooker. Hookers rob people. It's like the one thing hookers are known for after the sex and drug and disease is they rob you. Like, I've never purchased a hooker, and even I was like, if you're going to have a hooker, you got to, like, lock up your wallet and shit. You don't say, hey, professional whore, look at all this money I've got, and I'm all alone in a hotel room. You're a hooker, though. Whores don't know... People of ill repute, do they? Do you, whore? Look at all my money, whore. And then, oh, you're going to call your whore friends to come over? This is great. And look, if you're going to rob them, fine. She's a whore. You're a hooker. I think part of being a hooker, I think part of the job is you try to rob the John. If you can steal his wallet in a peaceful way, I think it's part of the game. I think this is how it goes. But you have to fuck the guy first. If you're going to rob a man of $96,000, you could at least fuck him. Give him that foursome. You know, he's celebrating an injury settlement of some sort. He's got all this money. You know he's a loser. You know he's a loser because he got $97,000 and carried it around in actual cash as he went to pay for a hooker. He's a loser. He's one of you. Give the loser at least something. He might not have the money, but if you guys had all fucked him... He wouldn't be complaining. He'd be like, oh, I got a hell of a story, man. I had $96,000, and I got robbed by three hookers. People are like, well, and now it's like, he's jerks. Also, how do we know he was robbed?
There's this video.
Wait, no. They're hookers. Maybe he just paid them a lot.
Well, the guys... came in and held him up and took money.
Maybe he's into that.
I really get off on being robbed at gunpoint by...
Hey, we call them cucks. Yeah, that's okay. A thing. It's a whole porn genre.
He said the guy's last name is Vegas. I am haunted by this. I keep playing it over in my mind. I was surprised they pulled a gun. I said, what is going on? I yelled,
yeah,
help,
I bet you were.
I yelled, help, help. I was depending on that money to move my family. I'm nervous all the time now. I keep playing
it over
and over.
Oh, you got a family, you say.
I see the weapon they use clearly over and over. I needed that money badly.
See, people think guns are bad, but guns also deprive stupid people like this of their money. He's got a family. I needed that money for my family. Oh, yeah? Is that what you were thinking when you're trying to buy the three whores to have sex with you? Better hold on to this money. Little Jimmy needs to eat tomorrow. And little Sally, she graduated the first grade, and she's the first person in the family to do it, and I want to get her that book. She really wants to read a book. First, I'm going to go... bang all these whores and show up my $96,000. Then I'll take care of my family.
How dumb is it to carry around that much money? Unless you're like Floyd Mayweather and $96,000 means nothing to you, but holy shit, is that dumb.
Even if you're Warren Buffett, you don't show a whore $96,000.
I'm not even saying that. I'm just saying in general. Like, why risk that kind of money?
To be honest, I think even if, you know, no matter what you've, no matter how much money you've got, the only time you would ever have money like that would be at a casino. Otherwise, it's so dangerous. There's no point, especially in this day and age when, you know, I pay for shit with my phone. Why would you carry money?
I don't know. I remember there was one of those, like, huge lottery winners who, like, got robbed. He kept, like, $900,000 in his truck, and they busted into his truck and took, like, bags of money out of it. He would drive around with it.
I'd so do dumb. It. If I knew some moron was driving around town with $900,000 in his truck, I would fucking follow him every second of the day until I saw he went into McDonald's to take a shit for a little too long. He comes out and, well, a fool and his money are soon part.
Yeah, yeah. Speaking of big money, Black Panther has overtaken the Avengers to become the highest grossing superhero film at the U.S. box office, taking in a total of $631 million on its sixth weekend of release. The Avengers, also a Marvel production, finished at $623 million in 2012.
Imagine how much more money Black Panther would make if its primary audience had jobs.
Hey, it's
if they weren't living off welfare.
Lowest black unemployment ever.
Hey, people can say what they want. This past February,
this movie came out when Obama was president. It wouldn't even win 1 week at the box office.
Damn right it wouldn't have. Instead, think about it. The first Black History Month, February of 2018, black people had the lowest unemployment they've ever had, and they were the most popular movie of all time. Donald Trump loves the black man, unlike George W. Bush.
George Bush doesn't care about black people.
Did you see George W., the video of him dancing?
No.
There's video that just came out the past couple of days. Yeah, he was like his nephew or niece's wedding, and he's dancing. Like, he just, what's great about it is he looks like such just a 60 or 70 year old, like, dad, like, enjoying life and just not taking himself seriously at all. Just having fun and just looking like any other old dad would look out there cutting a rug, as the kids say.
I did see one thing that, he was at a baseball game or something, and he was just walking down the stands, and nobody was really paying attention. One of those, like, sideline reporters was in the audience, like, talking about the game, and he, like, made, like, a goofy face behind her. I'm like, yeah, it's pretty cool. Like, and she didn't even know he was there. Every once in a while, he can be pretty charming, and I still respect the fact that he dodged that shoe like he did. Like that was
awesome.
That was badass. Like, yeah. I'm obviously not a huge Bush fan, but he's had a few moments where I'm like, eh, he's not that bad.
Yeah, I remember because like he got the rep with Bush was that he was like a male cheerleader or whatever, but like he was an athletic guy. Like he rode his bike, like he always kept in really good physical condition, and when he dodged that shoe like a boss, I was like, wow, like our president looks awesome right here. Like if he had, the only thing he could have done that would have been more badass is if he had caught the shoe and thrown it right back at him,
like in his mouth.
Well, that would have been something. But if he, think about that though, if he had grabbed that shoe and in one motion caught it and flung it back and nailed the guy in the head, I think the entire Iraq war would have gone differently. I think everybody on the ground, I think all the Iraqis would have been like, holy shit, this dude's awesome. We're totally going with this democracy thing. Guy, Ahmed, stop with the rape.
I wonder what happened with that guy who threw the shoe at him. Like
he's
what?
Dead. There's no way he's dead. There's no way he's alive.
Somebody's got to research that.
He's dead for sure.
Think of
Halliburton did it, yeah.
Yeah, so Black Panther has overtaken both the Avengers and Star Wars The Last Jedi to move to number 5 on the all-time list at the U.S. box office. It's likely to pass Jurassic World at number 4, and it has a shot at overtaking Titanic, which is currently number 3 with $659 million.
They have Avatar's number 1. What's number 2?
I don't know. I'll find out. Probably Star Wars. Something Star Wars, I'm guessing.
That's what I was wondering. I mean, hey, look, the movie's been an undeniable cultural hit. Like, it's been a while since we've had one of these kind of deals happen, but this has been a real, it's been like the one piece of culture lately that's been embraced. It's been like a positive. Like, everybody in America came together. Racist for white people, racist black people, right, left, all this stuff, and everybody kind of walked out of the movie going, hey, that was really good. I really liked that. That was fun. You admit, that part, I really like his accent too. It just sounds really like royal. But it sounds like African royal, you know? Like, no, I know. Like, it doesn't sound like he's British. He just sounds like, this is how I think my Africans sound like. Yeah. No, I know.
I think it's got to be Star Wars The Force Awakens. Would that make sense?
That's what I thought. I didn't know if that was above Titanic, though. But,
yeah. Well, worldwide, it looks like Titanic's number two. But I think this is U.S.-based. Star Wars is number two in the States.
Interesting.
Furious 7 is the sixth biggest grossing movie ever.
I know. You see some of those stuff and you realize real quick why they kept making those stupid movies.
That's unbelievable.
It also explains why Donald Trump is president.
It's also funny because you got to consider inflation and shit. Because
oh yeah,
it's like these movies that are still like Titanic at number 2 came out in 97. Like, that clearly is the most viewed movie ever. It has to be.
No.
Yeah.
No.
It's number
no,
two
they,
from 97.
When you what? It really depends, but like, they've done this before. But I think the most tickets sold in the history of America is Casablanca or something. Because
really?
Remember back then there was nothing to do except for go to movies.
Right.
And there's only one or two movies out. And some of those movies are just gigantic. And obviously, you know, they didn't. And they still had records. Like, for years, they were, like, the top grossing movies. And you realize, oh, yeah, no, like, they sold way more tickets.
So, I got domestic grosses adjusted for ticket price inflation. Gone with the Wind is number one.
There you go, yeah.
Estimated tickets, 202 million?
Yeah.
How many people lived in America in 1939?
Not that many.
Yeah, they must have gone a few times. They went a bunch.
People had nothing to do.
Yeah.
You didn't have television.
They were working all the time. How'd they have time to go see Gone with the Wind 3 times? It's fucking 4 hours long.
Because it's literally the only thing they could do at night.
So
these people played it in power.
Here's the top 10. Most tickets ever sold. Gone with the Wind. The original Star Wars. Sound of Music. E.T.,
Jeez.
Titanic is 5, The Ten Commandments, Jaws, Dr. Zhivago, The Exorcist, and Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs.
Some of those are surprising.
All selling over 100 million tickets.
Dr. Zhivago?
Yeah.
What the hell? I've never even seen that. I mean, I've heard of it, but it seems like the... Oh, you know, Steven Spielberg's got a pretty good run there, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's been successful.
He's a hell of a director. I think he's pretty good. I think they're going to remember him.
Somebody else who might be remembered, not just for National Anthem, but also
Albert
the TV
Bell.
Show. Roseanne. They've done a revival of Roseanne, and it premiered on Tuesday night to a staggering 18.2 million viewers.
That's huge, man. What the fuck?
In 2018, that's pretty crazy. It got a 5.1 rating for the coveted 18 to 49-year-old demo for Tuesday's back-to-back episodes. For comparison, the first episode of NBC's reboot of Will and Grace averaged 10 million viewers and a 3.0 rating last September. Roseanne also scored the TV's highest rating for the 18 to 49 demo for any comedy telecast since 2014, the year that the season 8 premiere of CBS's Big Bang Theory held that title. Arguably the most impressive stat is that Tuesday's night episode actually topped the show's original finale 21 years ago by 10% in total viewers. So this, like, relaunching of the show 20 years after it was over, got 10% more viewers in a time when all TV ratings are down and nobody really watches TV when it happens anymore.
I mean, when I saw the ratings come out for this, I was just like, holy shit. Like, I thought it would do well. Cause in watching the show, it really does have a... It's got a good feel to me as far as... It's very reflective of our times. But it's not like in a... But it wasn't annoying. But I don't know.
I mean, back in the day it was, too. I mean, that's true. I think it was popular because it was edgy and the family had a lot of issues and the kids were weird. And it wasn't your... It was funny, but it wasn't your typical comedy. They were all mean to each other. It had some edge to it. It wasn't Home Improvement, you know, which is like the exact opposite type of show in the same time.
Ironically enough, Tim Allen had the highest-rated comedy show on ABC last year or whatever, and then they canceled his show.
Yeah. Because
they didn't learn their lesson. And they canceled that one pretty much because he's a conservative. And meanwhile, here you got Roseanne, and a big part of the selling point on the show was Roseanne's character likes Trump.
Right.
And I think that factored into... I think a lot of people were probably curious to say, what does that mean? How are they going to play it? And I think there's a lot of people, maybe this was their protest against the Hollywood people, be like, yeah, this character likes Trump. I like Trump. I'm going to watch it and like to show you. Not realizing that when you stick it to the man still makes all the money. That's just the beauty of being a Hollywood mogul. You get all the money. They can stick their middle finger at you and say, I'm going to watch this show to spite you. You'd be like, thank you. I'm the executive producer. Yeah.
I wonder if even most people knew that or if it was just a nostalgia thing. I don't think most people have been following Roseanne's career that closely the last few years and know she cares about Trump or even knows what she's been up to. I mean, I know she's done some
specials. I thought that was a selling point, though. I thought they kept talking about that, though.
Yeah, I think
it was hyped that way.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe in, depending on what you're reading and where you're looking. But I don't think the average viewer probably knew or gave a shit. But that's just my hunch.
I say this as somebody that didn't watch Roseanne originally when it aired. Like, it just, my family didn't...
Were you too young?
I don't know if that was... My family just didn't, like, my mom and dad didn't like it. I guess they thought it was crude or something. They just didn't care for it, which is funny because the fictional town where Roseanne supposedly lives is like 10 minutes away from me.
I thought it was Indiana. It's Illinois.
It's Illinois, and the way they always talk about it is like in the Elgin-Aurora area, and I can get to Aurora in 10 minutes. So.
The only scripted show to have a bigger audience this season was the post-Super Bowl episode of NBC's This Is Us, which brought in 27 million viewers. But obviously that Super Bowl impacted that, so it's like the highest-rated scripted show all year. Roseanne rated highest in Tulsa, Cincinnati, and Kansas City. The return of the series on Tuesday night brought in a 19.0 rating in Tulsa, which means 19% of homes in the city were tuned into the show. She is a big draw in Tulsa.
Well, look, everybody knows you want to get that coveted Tulsa viewer. That's what everybody's looking for. I mean, that means she got, what, 30, 40,000 people watching? I don't know what 20% of Tulsa is.
I just thought it was a funny random city to have your highest ratings in.
I guess you know what that tells me? That tells me the guy writing that was looking for a Trump area to tie it in. Because why else would you go to Tulsa?
It does at the very end mention. Roseanne Barr's character reveals that she is a Donald Trump supporter and her sister Jackie, played by Laurie Metcalf, supports Hillary Clinton. So those will be some good debates when they're at the diner. So just along, here's some other shows that they're talking about that are in the works for reboots. Murphy Brown, Magnum P.I., Charmed, and Full House, I guess, which is already on Netflix. It's called Fuller House.
I was going to say, Full House already exists. Magnum P.I., I can't believe that hasn't been rebooted. It feels like somebody would have made a movie out of it.
Yeah.
It's just got, you know, anything is a 1980s property. Charmed is just because Rose McGowan got raped. And so did Alyssa Milano. There's a lot of rape victims on that show. And Shannon Doherty, who's a Republican. So that's got everything.
But is anybody clamoring for Murphy Brown to come back?
I don't know where. Well, I can understand the thought process. She was the first, not the first, but like this controversial single mom television character, whatever, like, her character was, like, chastised by Dan Quayle or some horse shit, so she was, like, a feminist icon, because I think she was the first woman to wear pants on TV or something, I don't know. So, they're probably thinking, hey, this will catch fire, this is what the people want, women wearing pants.
Yeah, women walked around bottomless before that.
Hoop skirts for all the rage.
We talked about this before. There was going to be a bar that was going to allow axe throwing in, I think, like, Virginia. But apparently it's catching on with hipsters in Brooklyn as well. Kick axe throwing is the first bar in New York City to pick up on a nationwide trend of axe throwing, a growing sport that some enthusiasts hope will take off the way bowling did in the last century. People are like, sharp objects and beer, what a great idea that is. But truthfully, after you have a couple of drinks, you actually start throwing the axe a little bit better, said Alexander Stein, an expert at kick axe. He honed his own skills growing up in Colorado, throwing knives at carnivals, and now trains newcomers on proper technique. It's about believing in your ability to do something that you didn't think you could do before.
Look, there's nothing in the world that requires hand-eye coordination, balance, anything physical at all, anything actually mental, nothing in the world you get better at if you're drinking. That's just a rule, all right? Don't give me this, oh no, you would think throwing an axe requires you to be sober, but it turns out you get loaded, we all just natural axe throwers, man, I don't know. It's like talking to a girl, you get over your fears of the axe, you feel loose and comfortable, you could kill a fly from 20 feet with an axe that way. Also, what's wrong with hipsters? Okay, there's a lot wrong with hipsters, but are they oblivious? Do they not know what they look like? Like, are they really going for the whole gay lumberjack? They're taking it to the next level, bringing in actual axes? Because they've already got all that shit. They tried to co-opt flannel. You're gonna co-opt axe throwing? Where are all you progressive commies out there in your cultural appropriation, huh? They're appropriating the lumberjack culture, and they're taking something manly and turning it into some hipster horse shit in an area of New York where, on one bar, assholes are drinking so they can get up the courage to throw an axe as they're next to the hotel where some poor bastard's getting jumped by three hookers and two pimps to take his $96,000.
Scoring is similar to darts. Players aim at a wooden board painted with a bullseye and rings corresponding to different point values. Playing to the sport's origins at Canadian logging competition, kick axes decor is reminiscent of a ski lodge complete with flannel chairs and calfskin carpeting. The perimeter of the venue is lined with cages for throwing. There's a bar serving beer and wine, but no hard liquor. Guests can take a break from throwing axes to play board games like Candyland at tables in the center of the room.
So if you're drinking beer, your axe-throwing ability increases, but you have a shot of whiskey and suddenly you're just off the rails. You can't be trusted.
While kick-axe mainly caters to casual players, there are locations across the country where enthusiasts play the sport competitively. There was no alcohol in sight during recent tournament play at Chicago's Bad Axe.
Well, yeah, because you can't have any performance enhancers. Everyone knows that.
Bad Axe's CEO, Mario Zelaya, founded the World Axe Throwing League a year ago. He said it now has 2,500 members worldwide who compete at his own locations and other independent venues. It's bowling 2.0, said Zelaya. What bowling maybe used to be in the 80s and 90s, and this is what axe throwing is right now. It's fun, it's new, it's addictive, it's active entertainment.
Who aspires to bowling? You're looking at bowling and going, man, if only we could be as popular as bowling.
The UFC in 2001.
I mean, were they sitting around going, you know what, Dana? Yeah, Lorenzo? You know how I'll know when we made it? How's that? When we're as popular as mini golf. That's when you know you've hit it big.
So
I think my brother's a hipster. I just realized that because, well,
got some tendons.
He's not, but, well, he's got some of them. Yeah, he lives in a hipster area, and it's his wife and her friends. I think that they're inadvertent hipsters. I just call them dorks. But I know that one of them had like a birthday party recently, and they all went and they found a place and they went curling. And that sounds like a real hipster ass thing to do.
I've never done that, but during the Olympics, the kids liked watching curling for some reason. And it's like, you watch it and you're like, I could probably do that. Like, it doesn't look it would be that hard. But I never actually went after it and tried.
But
and I probably wouldn't do it for someone's birthday either. I would go to a trampoline place.
I would never do that. I see those now, and I'm just like, there's the end of my knees. But, no, these hipsters, what really pisses you off is that, you know, they're trying to be this, like, we're rustic, manly men, and blah, blah, blah. It's like, oh, yeah? All right, you pussies. You want to do something for real? Well, just shoot a gun. That's a real thing that people do for real. But, no. What's the matter? Your aim with your gun doesn't improve as you drink? Fucking dicks. Axe throwing you drink.
Somebody's going to get hit with an axe. It's not going to be good. And just now, I guess Tony Ferguson and Khabib have been going at it over the phone.
Oh. Okay.
No, the fight's still on. We got 2 weeks.
Okay.
It's still on. But they apparently
we have
like,
1 week.
That, press. Yeah. Nah, well, a week and a half, I guess. There's not a fight this weekend. It's the next one.
We'll split the difference.
Okay. April, what would that be? April 7th?
7th.
8th is Mania. So they're going at it, and Khabib says, who's a real fighter? You real fighter? You seven times somebody give you knockdown in your UFC career. Seven times you go down. I'm going to knock you out. You understand? I'm going to knock you out your face. Ferguson responds, that's cool. I hope you try to box me. That's why I'm going to take your ass down. Straight up, I'm going to fucking break your ankles. Hey, nobody understand your English, bro. Calm down, please. Relax, Nurmagomedov said. Why are you nervous? Why? We're just talking. You're nervous. You speak like stupid guy. Ferguson shoots back. I can smell it through that phone, kid. That's all I smell. Fear. I smell it on you. You reek of it. Those two talking trash is not, like, well done, but it is funny.
It's authentic. what I like is... Oh, go ahead.
Ferguson goes, Dana likes me better than you. You hate that because I'm a real fighter, dog. I show up. I make weight. I'm a professional. Dana likes me better. Sounds like two kids talking about their dad. Dad
How
loves
sad.
Me more than you.
I'll say this, man. Fucking Khabib is terrifying. Even his trash talk is scary. It's the same stuff you spewing at Michael Johnson, where he's just got that way of speaking, where you just... It's not trash talk, because he's just going to do it. He's going to just go out there and be like, I'm just going to beat you up. You get knocked down, I'm just going to knock you out. I'm just going to beat you up. This is easy. I'm just going to hit you. You're no good. You're no match. I'm stronger. And you're just like, yeah, no, he's going to do it. I hope it's something entertaining, but I don't know, man. It's fucking Khabib, but if he's on...
Ferguson goes, you're fucking terrible. Wait till you test my conditioning, dog. I'm going to take you in deep waters. I'm going to leave you out there with no fucking snorkel. What happened with your conditioning when you fought Danny Castillo, Nurmagomedov asked. I was worried about jiu-jitsu, Ferguson replied. I was probably like, what, a blue belt? Get out of here. I'd like to test that. What about you, huh? You blew your wad the last fight. You went 3 rounds your last fight. You couldn't even finish Edson Barboza. I finished him in the second round. Stop bullshitting me. This is good
shit. What is this weird world where they're like, hey, why'd you suck when you fought Danny Castillo? And like, you just go on some weird thing like, well, you see, when I came to Danny Castillo, the reason I appeared to fight that way is because I really wanted to try jiu-jitsu, and I wasn't sure if he was all that good or not. Like, what? No.
It's so good. That's what I'm saying. Like, they can't talk trash, but there clearly is some bad blood there. And, like, the fight was supposed to happen, like, 3 or 4 times, and it's never happened. It's time.
What is this? You're questioning Khabib's cardio, and your evidence was the beating he gave to Edson Barboza? Like, you walked away from that fight thinking, I think he gasses. I think that's the key. He looked at him. He got tired as it went on from beating this man with, like, 3, 10, 4 rounds.
Nurmagomedov said, it's going to be a big fight. We were supposed to fight in 2015. We were supposed to fight in 2016, 17. Now it's 18, and I hope we're going to fight. Finally, we're going to fight because this is the most important fight in the lightweight division right now. Fight for real belt. Very big show in Brooklyn. I'm very excited about this.
Yeah, me too. I'm really looking forward to this show. Oh, and I've been looking forward to it for a while now. Like, I've been watching a lot of Khabib fights. Like, I'm excited to see him do something.
It's also good because they've had this, like, layoff, too. It feels like we're due for a show. It makes you want to see the show as opposed to, you know, every weekend that 6 hours trying to squeeze the time in to watch these shows. It's, like, nice to have a break and then a big show that matters.
Yeah, what was, I know we had the, Brian Ortega's, and the Cyborg was the main event. And before that, we had the bullshit, so we haven't had, like, a real main event on a pay-per-view in a while, so this is good.
Yeah, and it'll be, hopefully Connor will be there and challenge the winner, and we'll get another big fight in 6 months.
Yes.
On that note, we're going to close out this here show on HalfGuarded.com. It was MMA and stuff. This was Matt. That was Mike. We will be back next week, barring any power failures and technology issues. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
Get up, cocksuckers. It's all over. Listen, we had a rough couple of months. Fucking Katrina's cousin Maria, the other one, Puerto Rico, Houston, fucking Florida. Listen, it's been tough up to now. The earthquake in Mexico, the White House, whoever the fuck is going on. But it don't matter. They want to shoot, it's time for us to fucking shoot, cocksuckers. They want to get down and dirty, don't forget who the fuck we are, you understand me? We're the baddest motherfuckers out there. You send a message to that fucking North Korean, he's gonna be sniffing my dick and sucking my asshole. That's the focus. We're going to North Korea in like a year. It's gonna be an island. It's gonna glow in the dark. You know why? Because we're Americans, cocksuckers. Who the fuck do you think you're dealing with? Stop with the gun control. They're selling more guns than ever the last 3 days. Stop with the fucking whining. Stop with the Russians on Facebook. I don't give a fuck. Worry about yourself. Keep your eyes open. And get the fuck off Snapchat and fucking Twitter, cocksucker. Stay black.